You're listening to This Is How We See It with your host, Eric Lee, the show where we say it like we see it.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. Welcome to it. My name is Eric Lee, and in the studio with me is Miss C.
Hello.
And Tasha is back for the third time.
All right. Hello.
Welcome back, Tasha. Yeah. Hey, guys, look, I was reading in the newspaper about this nonprofit organization based in Cary, North Carolina, called the Corral Riding Academy. And joining us by phone is Joy Curry, who is the president of the organization. And I thought it was so cool. And I wanted just Joy to just talk to us about the nonprofit and what it is that they do. Welcome, Joy. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm excited to talk to you about Corral.
All right. Well, go on and tell us about it.
Sure. Corral is a nonprofit program here in the Triangle in North Carolina. And we are a Christian nonprofit, and we pair girls in high-risk situations with rescued horses, and our goal is not only to give these girls an opportunity for healing, but to transform their lives.
Wow, okay.
We have a long... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
We have a long-term holistic intervention, which is one of the things I think that makes our program unique among other programs that work with youth at risk. And our program is a long-term holistic intervention, so the girls are here at the farm at least 11 hours a week, all through the academic year, and our hope is that we get to walk with them all through their middle and high school years and on to college.
Oh, okay.
The girls are receiving equine therapy and vocational training and academic supports and mentorship, and so we're really trying to look at the whole child and try to give them the supports that they need to get to a whole healthier place over the long term.
Okay, so when you say equine, you mean like horses, like they basically ride horses, right?
That's right. We do, we call it equine-assisted psychotherapy. It's a mouthful, but what it really means is instead of, you know, therapy on a couch with a therapist, it's out in the arena with a horse.
Wow.
And that's unique, not only because horses are unique as therapy partners, but also because teenage girls, or teenagers in general, aren't necessarily going to be receptive to sitting on a sofa and
sure.
talking about their feelings with a stranger they hardly know.
Sure.
Many kids don't feel like they necessarily need help or want help, and so they can be resistant to the typical therapeutic process.
I bet.
But with a horse, you know, we get to kind of bring that out, and the focus of their time with the horse is to develop a relationship with the horse. And as they progress in their relationship with their horse, a lot of their behaviors or situations or you know, sort of family dynamics start to surface mm-hmm. in their interactions with the horse. And then that's where the therapy can take place.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
So I read in the article that, so you guys are, you were like leasing land on a farm in Cary. And now you've actually purchased the land because you've raised like $1 million to do that. Is that right?
That's right. We've had just an exciting season at Corral. And it's especially exciting for me as the founder. I started Corral 9 years ago. And at that time, it was just sort of like, oh, I hope this is a good idea. Let me give this a shot. And We actually have been squatting, I'll say. Leasing is a strong word. Squatting is probably a more appropriate word on my family's farm in Cary for the last 9 years as we've gotten this thing off the ground. And in line with knowing or thinking that, hey, I'm just going to give this thing a shot, Corral has exceeded our expectations, both in terms of the efficacy we've had with the youth we're serving, as well as with the support from our community. So about 18 months ago, my dad, who's been a farmer all his life, said, hey, I'm going to sell this farm. I'm 85 years old. It's time to retire. And knowing that that would come one day, I sort of said, okay, no big deal. We'll go look for somewhere else to squat. And fortunately for us, the board of directors said, you know, hold on. This farm has been essential to the success of the program. Not only did we found the program here, but we're in the middle of the thriving, growing community of Cary.
Yes.
And we're proximate to the youth that we serve, insofar as the kids really do come from all over the county.
Wow.
So you could imagine if we are out in, say, New Hill, where there's a lot of farms, we would not be, a lot of our kids who we provide transportation for would not be able to access our program.
Sure,
and,
sure.
So the board kind of said, you know, we need to try to stay here if it's possible. And given that it's one of the last farms in Cary, that was going to be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But we launched a capital campaign in the fall of 2015 just to see if we could raise $1 million to buy a portion of the farm. And we thought it'd be a 12-month campaign if we could even do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to our surprise, we were able to raise $1 million in 3 months.
That's amazing. Wow.
It was just an incredible, incredible outpouring of the community.
Wow.
And we did. We just closed on the farm. We closed on the purchase of the farm just about a couple weeks ago. And so now we're proud landowners of a farm in the middle of Cary.
Well, congratulations.
That's awesome. That's
absolutely
awesome.
Okay, so tell us, Joy, how does a girl, and you only do girls, right? Like, are only girls allowed?
That's correct.
Okay.
We do only allow girls into our program at this time.
Okay.
And that was sort of a decision that was made early on. It wasn't necessarily purposeful at first.
Sure.
Our first girl was referred to us from Lake County Human Services, and she had just experienced a life of abuse and was really just struggling with, as I like to say, being a human in Humanville.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And she came on Tuesday night, and then on Wednesday afternoon, we had a young man that came to help on the farm and work with the horses. And he was gang involved, and my conversations with him were mostly about selling drugs and the violence that he was involved in his community.
Sure.
And I kind of looked at the situation and said, oh, my gosh, as this program grows, having these two kids together is a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a decision at that time to just serve girls. I just kind of said, you know, I'm a girl.
Yeah.
Our volunteers are girls. Let's just start with girls. And maybe one day we'll serve boys.
Absolutely.
But we found that that was a really good decision because now we've created this farm that gets to be this incredibly safe place for our girls to learn who they are without the pressures of culture.
Sure.
On them, and they get to come and, you know, wear whatever they want and not worry about makeup and not worry about how they're acting and whether or not they're crying or, you know, all of that. They get to just find a place where they get to be their authentic self. And many of them call it their home away from home. So it is girls only. One day, maybe as we expand into other farms and satellite programs around the community, maybe we'll have a boys program, but for now, Corral is for girls.
Okay. Now tell us, Joy, tell the people listening, how can they get a child in your program, or if they want to volunteer, because, I mean, you know, people are volunteering to help you out here. So tell us how they can get a girl in the program, and if they want to volunteer, how can they go about doing that?
Sure. So check out our website, corralriding.org. There's a wealth of information there about how to get involved in Corral. That is where our referral form is, and we have an open referral system. So you can just complete the referral, whether you're a therapy provider, a police officer, a teacher, school administrator, anybody that's working with kids who might be at risk can just complete that simple referral form and send it on in.
And that is the Corral.
Also,
I'm sorry. Go on.
Go ahead.
Go on.
And that's kind of the simplest way to describe our referral program. Once a child is referred, they start our program we call Join the Herd, and it's an 8-week equine therapy program. And if they successfully complete that program, and we have spots in our riding academy, they might then go on to our riding academy, which is the program, our holistic long-term program.
Okay, and that is the CorralRidingAcademy.org, is that right?
CorralRiding.org. CorralRiding.org.
Okay, CorralRiding.org.
And you'll also see on our website that there are opportunities for volunteers and donors. There's a spot to get involved, and one of the best ways to get involved is to come to one of our upcoming farm days or events and come out to the farm, see the program in action, and see how you can get connected.
All right, Joy, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about this wonderful organization that you have. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Joy Curry from the Corral Riding Academy, which is a nonprofit here in Cary. Well, not here. We're in Raleigh, but Cary, which is, you know, about 15 minutes away only. And it is a nonprofit for girls, and they use horses for therapy. How cool is that? Using horses,
yeah, mm-hmm. Very different
for therapy.
Now
so,
I stepped out for a minute, but what is the age?
She didn't say. I think it's for, you know, little, you know, girls.
I heard something about high school, and through college. Mm-hmm. So it should start at like 12, 13.
Well, they can go, if they go on the website, you can. I'm pretty sure they have all of that. I didn't see it when I went on the website. I didn't see an age, you know, but if you go on the website, they have their number. And again, it's CorralRiding.org is the website. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. In 3 months, they raised $1 million.
That's crazy.
In 3 months, they raised that money.
And this is for only girls that are
at risk girls. Yep.
At risk
for, you know, like for trouble or something, you know, at risk children who are, you know.
Yeah, service animals are becoming popular now. You know, they have the dogs. Mm-hmm. They come out to the elderly homes. Mm-hmm. And then they have horses doing therapy. I mean, animals are really, truly helping people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was watching the news the other day, and there was a handicapped guy at Belk, and he was the dogs. He needed a guide dog, and he was actually trying to get some of them, like, I don't know if they stop being guide dogs or something. He was trying to get them adopted. And mm-hmm. so he was at Belk, and Belk is going to be donating like some of their proceeds to his organization.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure when they get a certain age.
You should get one.
Sure.
I do. I have one. It's you. Her name is Tane.
Oh, okay.
Tane is my.
Oh,
my,
so Tane is here
my
now.
My seeing
so
eye dog is what.
I see all and Tane. Hear all. You're right. Well, what did Sheree say? I'm the bone catcher, the bone collector.
I don't know anything
you
about that.
You remember off of Atlanta Housewives when she went back and she'd go back and tell stuff that the other girls
oh,
say?
Oh, yeah.
They call a little dog She's, with a bone.
Yeah, and that is so true. She is that.
She does. She stars a lot of stuff, but you know what? She owns up to it.
She does.
She said, yeah, you did say,
she does.
You know. Yeah.
That's the truth. She does. I never mind. But and she's back and she's in full effect. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't watch the Housewives anymore because it's just kind of.
Well, you know, NeNe will be back.
NeNe and Kim are coming back, but they're only coming back.
Kim
they're not going to be regulars on the show. They're going to be like.
Kim Fields, Kim Zosiak.
Well, Kim yeah. Zosiak, I don't see how she has time to be on the show. She has so many kids.
Yeah, she does.
What is
how many
wrong?
Kids she got?
I think four now.
Does she have a set of twins?
Yeah. I don't know.
She had
they're all like, what do you call them? Step kids? They're
yeah.
one behind
Stair
the other.
Steppers.
Stair steppers. Whoa. Yeah. She had two hip babies at once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's popping
they're
them out.
Putting them in mind of somebody else, I know.
She's popping them out.
Yeah.
So y'all know I love Grey's Anatomy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Grey's Anatomy is a great show. I absolutely love the show. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to y'all about this scenario. Meredith, everybody knows Meredith Grey is the star of the show, right?
And also one of the producers.
She's producing now. Mm-hmm. She has a sister, a half-sister named Maggie.
Yeah.
Okay? And Maggie was liking a new doctor that came into the
hospital. Uh-huh. This is real life?
No, this is on the show,
oh,
Grey's
Anatomy.
Okay, yeah, I thought the character was a real person. Okay.
No. And so the new doctor comes into the hospital, and, you know, he's handsome, and you know how they have McSteamy and they have McDreamy. You know how they gave them. I don't think they gave him a name yet. Mm-mm. But anyway, Meredith, he liked Meredith, and Meredith liked him from mm-hmm. the beginning, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Maggie, the sister, let Meredith know that she was interested in the guy.
But didn't she? Okay. She didn't even know that she was her sister, right? Didn't
no, she knew she it at this her? Time. At this yeah. time, oh, okay. she knew it that they were sisters, and so Meredith backed off.
Yeah, but Meredith and him had already been.
Well, but yeah, but I'm saying she backed off mm-hmm. because she was like, well, my sister likes him. I don't want to hurt my sister. Yeah. So I'm just going to, you know, back off. And Derek had just died, too. So I think she was kind of
conflicted.
Right. Kind of conflicted, you know, about what to do with this man.
Well, I think Derek had been dead for a good
while.
Well,
he had just died the season before. I don't think it was like years and years.
Yeah. Well, you know, she had already had a baby and that baby's walking.
Well, she had the baby before Derek died.
No, she did.
Yes, she did. The baby was born before Derek died, wasn't
it? No, she found out she was pregnant after Derek died. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? I will continue this story when we come back. We will be back in a moment. You're listening to This Is How We See It.
I miss my old friends because they know when I need them the most. I made some new friends and they're cool friends, but they don't know what I do, what I got, who I am and who I'm not. I miss my old friends, I miss my old friends. I miss the good times we had, now I don't.
Hey, thanks for coming back with us. Before we went to break, we were talking about Grey's Anatomy and Meredith and Maggie, their sisters. Meredith was liking this new doctor. Then she found out that her sister Maggie liked him, so she backed off, okay? But here's the thing. He never gave Maggie the time of day and actually told her he was not interested in her when she asked him, you know, to go out with her. He said, not interested.
Yeah, but he said it kind of gently. He didn't, you know, he just said he wasn't ready. You know,
well, he wasn't interested. It's what he told her. And so, but he was continued chasing Meredith. Okay. Cause he really likes Meredith.
Mm-hmm. And they had hoochie pal.
And so Meredith finally gave in. Okay. And now Maggie found out and this past episode got mad at Meredith because Meredith finally gave in to the guy, you know, liking her. She stopped running from him. And my question is, should Maggie have, yes. like who's wrong? Like, is Maggie wrong? Is Meredith wrong? Who?
Meredith. I think that Maggie, she has the right to be upset because her sister didn't tell her. She didn't tell her,
okay,
hey.
Didn't tell her what?
She didn't tell her that this guy has been interested in me, you know, for a while, and I'm kind of feeling the same way, but I don't know how to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
She should have let her from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because Maggie's not a mind reader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Meredith, it's her fault too because she should have communicated with her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think it's Meredith's fault because when she found out that Maggie was interested in this guy, she should have told Maggie, we have already been to bed, could have been to bed twice.
Mm-hmm.
She should have told him, well, I didn't know, but we have already had dealings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she should have said it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Tasha?
It's her fault that she let, and still knowing how her sister felt and had not said anything to her, Meredith is out of order.
Yeah.
And the sister is nutty because after she found out about, well, see, she's hurt because of the betrayal of the lie.
It's not
the fact that she was with.
Well, is it a lie?
It's not a lie, but it's not the truth.
But let me tell you something. If you withhold something just because you did not tell that person, you let them believe, that's a lie.
No.
That's a lie. Mm-hmm.
I think ever since Maggie's mom passed away,
mm-hmm.
she has been
on an emotional roller coaster. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, of course, you can look at it on both sides. You know, if I was married, if I would have been, you know, feeling some way and I should have said something.
Right.
But then if I was Maggie, too. But she was more scared because Meredith knew or Meredith knows that her sister is an emotional roller because she, uh-huh. she told her, she said,
right.
you're the only person I can trust. Everybody right. kind of mm-hmm. kept a secret about her mom having mm-hmm. cancer. Mm-hmm. So I believe mm-hmm. Meredith was kind of scared to even say anything to her. But well,
and Meredith said it. She yes, said, your mom had just died. She said you were going through this. Mm-hmm. She said, and I didn't want to hurt you.
Okay, now let me tell you this about that part. Meredith and that doctor, what is his name?
I don't even, well, Riggs.
Yeah, Meredith and Riggs had already did the wild thing before Meredith ever saw Maggie's mother.
Making the
That's true.
She should have true. Told Maggie when she found out that Maggie was interested, she should have told her, well, look, we've been, you know, we've done kick boots or whatever. So how
kick
do you
boots?
Do? Yeah, we done kick boots.
Not the boots. Okay.
Not, yeah. Well, not the boots and whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You keep on. And so now how you feel there, I know, you know, you like them, but would you still be interested knowing that we have already been together?
You know what?
With Maggie and that doctor, you have one time to tell Tanae you don't want to talk to
well,
her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Here's my take on it. On the one side, Meredith was wrong in not getting her sister straight from the beginning.
Right.
When Riggs walked in and Maggie said, "Woo," Meredith just should have said, "Oh, pump your brakes. Yeah. Pump your brakes. That's mine." Yeah. Or pump your brakes. We kind of seeing each other.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and then hopefully,
and all this could have been avoided.
Hopefully. Maggie, I think, is in the wrong because this man never gave you any indication. Actually, told you I don't want you.
Yeah.
So you said it like that. He just told. Because
I understand he didn't say it like that, but that's what he said. That's what he meant.
Yeah, but he said I'm not ready because he's a widower, right?
Yeah, he just lost his wife.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so he told
her he
wasn't ready for a relationship.
Okay, but he was ready for Meredith, though.
Okay,
so
see, that's another thing.
He was
thing.
Ready for Meredith.
You just, being Maggie, you just told me that you weren't ready for a relationship. So, okay, mm-hmm. I took it that, you know, you weren't interested in me or anybody. But now here it is, you with my sister.
Well, and to continue, I mean, first of all, he never gave her the time of day. She was sleeping with the other intern. Remember, what's his name? The one Karev beat up.
Yeah.
She was sleeping with him anyway.
Yeah.
So what I don't understand about Maggie is, how do you miss something you never had? Like, I can understand you saying, Mayor, you should have took now. Come on now.
Mayor.
You should have told me that you were, you know, dating. Like, why did you feel like you couldn't tell me that?
Right.
And she should have said, Maggie.
but Maggie was wrong in the fact that, you know, you getting mad over somebody that you never had.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Is it ever okay? And I think we've talked about this on the show before. If you were in the situation, like say for instance, you were in a club, you and your friend, she zones in on a guy that she's like, ooh, but he's looking at you. He's giving you the eye.
Yeah, that always happens to me. So I'm
yeah, you're the one
committed.
That he's not.
I'm the one that he's like, ooh.
You would be the one that he's not feeling.
I'm the one that he's all in my face. I'm like, calm down.
Now, Eric, see, now, that's different.
But let me finish. So he's giving you the eye, but the girlfriend likes her. Do you say, let me back off, my girlfriend likes him?
Or do you say,
okay, well, look, he's feeling me.
He
ain't feeling you.
I say this. If I think he's cute, I'll say, you know. And if, but I don't know. I mean, it's so many fish out here in the sea. Yeah. Why settle for just one?
Yeah, that's my point, too.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is with that? You're both eyeing this man at the same time.
Mm, he was looking
friends,
at me.
No, he's looking at us.
Looking
but
at me.
I'm not talking about him looking at who he's looking at. You and this person, or you, your sister, and your friend, or whatever, are eyeing this man at the same time. This is the first time both of you are laying eyes on this man. Mm-hmm. And if you see that he's, now your sister said, oh, I wouldn't mind, you know. But you see that he's looking at you. Neither one of you have been with that man. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
No.
I'm saying me. You're asking for opinions. I would let it go. Mm-hmm. Because you see that she, you know, she's eyeing him. He's looking at you, but neither one of y'all have ever been. Just, it's too many people. Let it go.
I don't agree with that.
Quiet, because if my friend, she's the vocal one, saying, "Ooh, look at him," she's the vocal one, I'll probably just be like, "Okay, I ain't gonna say nothing. He look good, but I ain't gonna say nothing." But you know, if he approaches me, you know, and be like, "Well,
what you gonna tell a girl by? What you gonna tell?"
I don't know. I might have to. I love you, but.
And she should have no problem with it. Like, she should not be mad at you.
What is that? When she was like, "I'll be right back. I'll be right back." Oh, say the last dance. I'll be right back.
Say the last dance. Yeah. Man, I don't even remember that.
Remember she was talking junk about the baby daddy. Then he came up and said, "You know you want to dance."
Oh, like, okay.
Right. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, that happens a lot, though, with friends.
Does. I had to happen with one of my friends, and she became upset with me about it. But, you know, it's water on the bridge, because at the end of the day, me and the guy didn't work out. And then, you know, I guess they gave it their turn. It didn't work out either. So.
No, she had him after you did?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that is gross. That's gross.
Must have thought she was going to be better.
That's gross.
That's what I thought.
Like, how do you see? Now, that right there, I can't with that. I can't go behind my friends.
Yeah. No.
Now, here's what I will say now. I have said this on the show before. If y'all just met, went out on a date, one or two dates, nothing happened, and then a couple of years later, we happen to meet and work out.
Yeah, that's different.
Go do your thing. Dang. Like, I'm just that type of person, you know, like, okay, hey, didn't work out with us, but it doesn't mean it won't work out with, you know, you guys.
Right.
So you go do your thing. Now, some people are like, if you dated my friend or whatever, then we can't have nothing.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Now, for me, and I've had friends that have, you know, had guys that they dealt with for a while or whatever, and then a year or two later, I mean, they're not together anymore. Then a year or two later, I see that guy, and he tried to holler at me.
That happened to me once.
You know what?
I feel
disrespectful.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I feel disrespectful. And I tell him, I said, "Look here, hey, hold up and yay."
Me too.
You used to talk to, you know, that's been so long. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
I still remember you. You know that me and her, best friends or whatever.
Yeah.
You disrespected me.
Yeah, that happened to me. Move on too. Now. I was like, how do you think that I'm just gonna talk to you like no?
I mean, what you think about me?
Right. Exactly. Now, some people wouldn't have a problem with that.
No, they wouldn't.
But I would. I would definitely have, especially when it was a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's different that, you know, we met, we went out on two dates, you know, nothing, you know, came out of it versus we were together for a year.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's so many fish in the sea, like I said.
Yeah. And you know what kind of teed me off with the end of Grey's Anatomy is the fact that, you know, she was still trying to still get a groove on with her sister, you know, get tight and stuff. And then she told her sister, you're my sister. At the end of the day, you still my sister. We're not going to fall out over a man. So to me, that means I'm going to put my happiness aside.
Right. Yes,
I'm going to put it aside. And you know me and this man click. And I really love, this is the only man that I've seen that since I done lost the love of my life.
Yeah.
And here is this man, and we clicking like this. But because your jaws got air in it behind this, now I'm going to leave him alone because you my blood sister. And guess what? If she still continue to deal with that man, guess what? She's still her sister.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, Maggie needs to get on board. She needs to sit down, take several seats, and she needs to get on board because, again, this man told you from the jump, you ain't my cup of tea.
Right. Yeah, but you know what? To add on to that, I have a question. It's been burning in me. Okay, so I have a friend, and she has a son by her baby daddy.
Hold on 1 second. I will let you finish that when we come back. We will be right back in a moment.
I miss my old friends because they know when I need them the most. I made some new friends, and they're cool friends, but they don't know what I do, what I got, who I am and who I'm not. I miss my old friends, I miss my old friends. I times we had. Now I don't.
Hey, we are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Tanae had some type of scenario, Lord have mercy, before we went to break. Continue.
Anywho, so I have a friend of mine, and she has a son by her son's father, and he doesn't really help out with the child. But the son's father has a girlfriend that has two kids now.
Not his.
Two of her own. Two kids. And he does for, I get what I would assume. I don't know. That's what she told me. He does for that, them two, but not for the one they have together. Mm-hmm. Now, she feels like she's mad at that girl, that woman, saying that, you know, how can you date somebody, you know, and who don't take care of their child, but you come down on me as the baby mama, you know, the stereotype of the baby mama asking for money. You know, how would you guys feel about that? Because I was her. I'd be mad, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, first of all, has she haven't had him up for child support?
Yeah, so he's on child support. Okay. But I guess, like, it's just I don't know if he's...
For he what spends she, no time with the child.
No, he's behind on support, she says.
Oh, he's behind on support,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's behind on support. I think he stays out, like, in Greensboro. They don't stay in Raleigh, but they stay out, like... Mm-hmm. A little bit out from Greensboro.
And how old are we talking?
Okay, so my friend is 25. The guy is, I think he's 24.
How old are the kids? His
four.
Child.
Four. The boy, the little boy is four.
Well, here is what I think. First of all, any man who does not take care of his children, to me, is a sorry man.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what I feel. And personally, a woman that has children of her own,
right.
I think that if she was any type of a woman, you know, in the true sense of the word woman, she would ensure. Now, she can't make her boyfriend go spend time with his mm-hmm, son. Mm-hmm. So, and she could be behind the scenes saying, look, you need to go, you know, spend time mm-hmm. with your child. But if she's not, I think she's less of a woman.
Yes. Yeah, see, that's the thing. My whole question, in case anyone, you know, the question of your head is, does that make you a woman or even a mother to have dealings with a man who does not care for his own? And you know this. How do you think that they are portrayed?
And then again, I wonder what her relationship with her children's father is.
Yeah, see, I talked about that, too. I thought, like, this is how I took it. Okay, well, you know, I kind of fault the woman as well because, you know, she's had talks with the girl back and forth, you know. Not really good talks, obviously, but, you know, they've had some type of words going around. And, you know, she feels like, you know, how can you sit there and, you know, you let them lay up with you and care for you and yours, but you know that
that's what it is.
He don't care for mine.
That's what it is.
Okay, she's getting hers taken care of.
See, that's what I'm saying.
She don't have a problem.
Yeah. That's the point. And I told her, I said, you can't be, I mean, she could be mad at her because I'll be mad too, but you can't be mad at somebody like that because, I mean, maybe her kid's father's not around.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I wonder about that.
She thinking, well, my
somebody here to take care of them.
Take care of my kids. You know, I ain't got nothing to do with what you got going on.
But if she was a true mother,
mm-hmm. She would understand.
She would understand, and she would also tell that guy, look here,
exactly.
I've been in a position where this child,
exactly.
where this mm-hmm. person is.
Exactly.
Now, I can't in good conscience sit here and not, you know, not even express to you that you need to have some dealings with your child. You know what really teased me off is if it's a man and he has a boy, you know,
yeah.
What man don't want to be
exactly.
with that boy child to tell them this is what you need to do and this is how you
right.
be a man, to show them that, this, you know, mothers, good mothers are good mothers, but it's just some things a mother cannot have with a boy.
Absolutely.
That's you one know? Of the questions that you ask if somebody trying to holler at you. You
yeah.
know, first one of them is going to be how you're created. The second one going to be, you got kids, and do you take care of them? And after that, if any one of them is no, or I can't talk to you.
And how are you and your baby mama
get along? Am I going to have to deal with any drama? You know, I want to meet her. Can I meet her? So we.
But it's the thing. She offered to meet. She said, you know, because she's open to the fact of the son going to spend time with the dad. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty sure, you know, she's a single mother right now. I mean, she has a boyfriend. Her boyfriend has two kids.
Oh, so everybody just got
to let me tell you though, her boyfriend has two kids, right?
Yeah.
But her boyfriend takes care of those two kids and her son. But she's conflicted because she feels like
it's not his son. His real daddy should take care of him.
That the little boy is sometimes slips and say, you know, daddy to the other boy. And she kind of feels a little conflicted about it. She's like, you know, I don't want to take that away from him because he has somebody in his life, you know, father figure. He said, but I don't want to ever confuse the two. Mm-hmm. I want him to know this is who your dad is. Mm-hmm. This is who is in your life right now. You know, she's very clear with the child about that. But you know how kids get. They attach to people.
You know what? And you brought up another dynamic. But he's being taken care of. Is it that she's trying to force the father to be in the child's life?
Yeah. Because she wants him to have that father, because he knows that boy to be his dad. This is who my dad is, but he knows the mama's boyfriend to also be in his life as well. But he just got there.
As long as he has a father figure, it does not have to be biological. You know, my mama used to say a lot, you can't make nobody love.
See, that's what I'm about to say. I wonder if this girl still has feelings for this
evidently.
Man.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
I could see if she was a single mother and didn't have no help, but she's got a man there helping with. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, it's not his child.
How long have they been separated? Her baby's daddy.
For about two or three years. Because, I mean, I know, like after he turned one, it was kind of like, you know, back and forth. But, you know, he went back to school. And
yeah, she has some feelings.
Yeah, I think that I think there might be some stuff going on.
I mean, I get where she's coming from, that she wants to.
No, I get it too.
You know, the actual father being. Because I mean, get it too. He's grown to know this man is. You know, this is your daddy. It's your daddy. Because before she didn't have that boyfriend.
Okay, but let me tell you this, and you should know this.
Though she can't force
him. You should know this. There are some people that will come into your life that will treat your kids better than the biological person will. And this boyfriend that she has
does that. Yeah.
Yes.
He does.
And so I don't see what the thing is. The only thing I can see is that she's saying, well, this boyfriend I have is not his father. Okay, fine. We know that. Mm-hmm. We know that. But if he's still being a father figure to the child, I don't see why she's looking for that from that other guy.
Yeah. That's
if
my
she
point.
Is, it's not for the child. It's
yeah.
for her.
It's
for
I think
her.
So. It's for I her. Think so
you
too.
You think it'll be for her?
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think it's for her.
I don't know, because she said she don't like him.
Yeah, of course
she don't tell you that because she don't want to keep looking like a monkey. That's what that
but
is.
But I don't know. Like, the guy does a lot for her son. You know, he's there.
So he's not missing a father figure.
Right.
See,
but he's still asking for his father.
He's 4 years old, honey. Give it another 6-7 months. He's not going to. And the only reason why he's asking for him because it's staying constant. The conversation is staying constant in his ear. He hears the grown people talking about, well, this is your dad and he ain't doing this and he ain't doing that. Give it 6 months with nobody talking about that, his biological daddy, and see who he asks for. Mm.
Yeah.
I think we don't make a decision.
Yeah. Whatever.
She's not
American
here.
Idol,
the decision
but you tell.
Is, but what's my gavel?
Whatever, American Idol.
Don't talk about that baby daddy for 6 months.
Yeah. All right, listen up, ladies. Jesse Williams, the green-eyed star of Grey's Anatomy, who plays Jackson Avery, will soon be back on
the
market.
He's biracial, you know that.
Yes.
He and his wife of 5 years, Aaron Drake Lee, have filed for divorce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sources say that they actually filed last week, and it is not clear who filed first, but they're saying that the divorce is amicable. They're saying, you know, that they both have agreed. Mm-hmm. They have two children, son Maceo and daughter Sadie.
Oh, hold on.
So Maceo.
Maceo is the son's name.
Oh, Maceo.
They are reporting that he is now dating Minka Kelly, who is a white actress. Okay? Now, we got to go back here. Jesse Williams is instrumental, remember, in the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yes. Yes.
He's very pro-black, even though he's biracial.
Yeah.
He's very pro-black.
Yeah,
he said that his
Caucasian.
Mother taught him that, look, I know that you're biracial, but this world sees you as a black man.
Yeah. Right.
And so, and he, you know, agrees with that. Now, Because he was so vocal in the Black Lives Matter movement, and he was speaking out about the mistreatment of black people at the hands of police, people are saying that he has betrayed the black race because he is dating this white lady. Mm-hmm. Here's my question.
Oh my God.
Does pro-black have to mean anti-white?
No.
It doesn't, but a lot of times.
And if they are saying that, because he's dating a white person, if they saying that, what he's supposed to do? Cut his mother out of his life? She's white.
Is she?
Yes, she is white. Yes,
it shouldn't matter what color, blue, purple, green. If you're going to treat me well and you love me, I'm going to love you.
Yes.
I mean, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people are starting to say that being pro-black is like being anti-white.
And
that's not it. I mean, why can't we just have something where we are actually proud of who we are and the center for our race? Without having to bash any other race.
Right.
We're not saying that we're better than you because our lips are fuller and our curves are curvier.
Oh, sit down.
We're not saying that.
Now you can't say that because I've seen some white girls with some black girls shaking.
Here, with some black girls shaking.
No injections. Really that.
That's all
you
real. You can't say black girl shape now.
Well, I'm just saying, you know how black
full
women
figures.
Are kind of right.
Mm-hmm.
We're
full with our bodies, with our minds. We're just full everywhere. You know what I'm saying? We just it.
Here is my question. I do not think that pro-black means anti-white. Because you know what? My pride in being a black man has nothing to do with anyone else.
Right.
My pride is in me. It's predicated on me.
Yes.
If I have to hate you in order for me to be proud, that's not real pride.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And see, that's why white supremacy and all of these people, why do you have to hate another race in order for you to be proud to be who you are?
Feel good about yourself.
Exactly.
Superior. Like,
exactly.
That don't make sense.
That's why you know that it's something wrong with racism.
Yeah.
Because, look, I'm proud to be, and just like I say, white people should be proud to be white. You can't change it.
That's right.
So why not be proud of who?
Oh, no, Michael Jackson changed from
black.
Well,
he didn't change. He just changed his skin color. He was still black. He was still black. But
and you know, because you know, I used to think that rednecks were people that hate black people,
and
I didn't realize it was just a type of.
It just means a country southern white person.
But I did.
See,
I used to think I said, "Oh Lord,
I thought they had a real redneck for real."
It's true. And I asked one. I said, "So you don't like black people?" He said, "What?" He said, I love black people.
Uh-oh.
And I said, "So redneck doesn't mean you racist?" He said, "No." He said, "Redneck." He said, "It really just means a southern white person, southern white person."
Wow.
He said, "It didn't have anything to do with, prejudice and things like that." I also thought that anybody who had the Confederate flag was a racist. And that's not true as well. That is not true as well.
Now, we saw that on the news. They got a flag hanging in Lumberton. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't know the commissioner of Lumberton was a black man.
Yes.
Threw me off, you know. But then they said it's, I don't know what to think. You know, when I was smaller, all that was kind of shielded from me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they taught you what you wanted to learn or what they wanted
exactly.
you to learn in
right.
school.
Exactly.
So, but as I'm getting older, I'm seeing like, I'm kind of, confused of which way to look at it. Some people look at the flag as something dealing with hate. And then, you know, they think of it as we're just people served, you know, the folks served the war. They served our country.
Right, right.
But
mm-hmm.
didn't black people fight on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very few. But they did fight. I've always been taught, I've always thought that Confederate flag means that you were sympathetic to slavery. Mm-hmm. And what mm-hmm. I found out is that is not always true.
True.
Yeah.
Like the Confederate flag is Southern. For some people, it's Southern pride. It's not really slavery. You know, they don't look at it as like slavery. But it also doesn't mean that they don't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's just so many things it can mean.
It really is. It really is. But no, I don't think that pro-black means anti-white.
Mm-mm.
You know, I don't have to hate you for me to be proud.
Be proud, yeah.
And I think that Jesse Williams should be able to date whoever he wants to date.
Yes.
I wished it was me, but I mean, you know.
Amen.
His wife was black. You know, so it's not like he only dates exclusively outside of his race.
Well, right. he got that wife before he became Jesse Williams.
Yeah, but she's still, you know, black, and he's still.
Yeah, they were married for 5 years, but they had been together long before that. They were together while, I think it says something like 15 years they were together.
People need to have several seats with that. We got to get out of this. Black people can only be with black. Now, look, you prefer what you prefer.
Prefer, right?
Mm-hmm. Some people say, you know what? I'm only attracted to black. I don't understand being only attracted to one race of people. But some people say, look, I'm just attracted to black people.
Yeah.
And then some white people say, well, you know, I'm just attracted to white people. I don't get it. But I can kind of.
It's what they're comfortable with.
Right, right. I mean, I can, you know, I can kind of believe it. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us.
I miss my old friends because they know when I need them the most. I made some new friends and they're cool friends, but they don't know what I do, what I got, who I am and who I'm. I miss my old friends. I miss my old friends. I miss the good times we had. Now I don't.
We are back. Thanks for coming back with us. So I've got another Ask Amy situation.
What about Tell Tanae?
Tell Tanae is not up and running. So until you get a column,
we up.
Until you
we
get a
up, and right now
until
we
you
trying
get a
to
column
get
in
together.
The paper, then we won't be talking about Ask Tanae.
You know what? Today marks the day.
So here it is. So here's the question: is grandmother obligated to babysit? Dear Amy, I am a 67-year-old divorced single woman. I live about 10 minutes from my daughter and babysit for my 18-month-old granddaughter 2 days a week. My daughter pays me a little bit, and I use that money to buy lunch food and snacks. My granddaughter's brother is almost 9. My daughter wants me to keep both children during summer vacation, but I know that my grandson will be very bored. All he wants to do is play games on my Kindle. There is not much I can do that will interest 2 children with such a large age span. My problem is that I love my grandchildren very much, but I really don't enjoy babysitting. I just don't have the energy or creativity to keep the children occupied. There are so many other volunteer positions and activities I'd rather be doing than staying in and babysitting. My daughter complains that they don't have the money for childcare, and yet they have money for their own interests. Look, they drive 2 late model SUVs, have a large above-ground swimming pool, etc. My question is, am I a bad person for not wanting to babysit?
No.
My back and head hurt. My back and head hurt just thinking about the summer and beyond. Signed, grounded grandmother. So are grandparents obligated to babysit their
Lord
grandchildren?
Have mercy. I wish we could play that song. H no to the no, no, no. Because I'm one grand and great grand.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's right. You watch your mind.
Mm-hmm. So what? What do you say?
No, she's not obligated to do. She, you know what? She's grandmother for a reason, not mother. She's already done that thing.
Well, if the grandma's sitting at home all day, what else is she
doing?
It's
none of your business. She's doing grand.
I think you are getting personal, Missy. Okay?
It's none of your business what she's doing. She's already done her motherly thing. She's had her kids, and she's raised them.
I feel like if she's a grandmother and she helps them out the 2 days a week, I don't feel like she would have to – I don't feel like the mother has to – should pay the grandmother. But, I mean – to each his own, you know. Maybe the grandmother, you know, likes to earn a little extra cash.
Now why don't you think that the mother shouldn't give the grandmother a little piece of money for babysitting?
Well, she should. I feel like she should.
Yeah.
But you know what? She don't have to pay her as much as she would pay a regular babysitter.
Well, apparently she don't, because that's one of the things the grandmother
but
said.
But I feel like this: if mother and father can go on vacation.
Which is what the grandmother said.
Grandma going on vacation too without keeping your children.
Right.
That's grandma's vacation too. She already keep them twice a week.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So you go on vacation. I got to go on me a vacation if I don't do nothing but stay in my house and lock my doors. I shouldn't keep your child while you go on vacation. I'm working for you too.
Take the kids with you.
Yeah.
Or get somebody else to keep them.
But see, this is my thing. I only was going to say she shouldn't pay the grandmother is because, you know, that's the grandmother. Now, if she chooses to pay the grandmother, like, I'll slap my mother some money every now and then. Like, hey, you know, you need some gas money. You know, you want something to eat. But, I mean, some people don't do that. But, I mean, if my mother would say, hey, I need some money, I have no problem giving my mother to watch my child. But I feel like you shouldn't come to me and be like, hey, I need 20, so let me watch Caleb for 2 minutes. You know, like, what?
I do not think that the grandmother or any grand anything is obligated to watch anybody's children.
Hey,
now,
hey.
If they choose.
Yeah.
To watch the child.
Yeah, that's different.
When they choose to watch them.
Yes. You don't know how long.
Right, because mm-hmm. sometimes grandma and grandpa might just be feeling like seeing their grandchildren.
They're older.
And then sometimes grandma and grandpa might not be feeling seeing the children.
Then she says she's a 67-year-old divorcee.
That is what she said.
Okay, so hey.
But my thing that got me, and Amy, I don't know what Amy's doing, but Amy should have told her, see, if you look, you should tell Tanae. Amy should have told grounded grandma, you tell your daughter you made the beast with two backs and you got two of them. You did that, okay? You did, as my mother would tell me, you did that.
I don't quite think I understand what. Oh, never mind. Okay.
Ring the bell.
Oh, never mind. Never mind.
You know, and it's just like, you know, saying, well, look, like, I don't understand. I never
that
understood.
Was nutty.
I never understood that how, because my mother, she is not a stay at home grandma. She's a go go grandma. That's what she is.
Yeah.
She's on the go all the time.
And so, you know that.
Yeah. So okay. I don't ever be like, you know, you need to stay home and watch, you know, watch the baby. Because, I mean, in the day, that's my child. I made that choice. Mm-hmm. Now, some people that I know, they have. I don't know. I don't know why mama can't take notes, but you know, they're like, I'm going out, and the mother, do you need me to watch the baby? I mean, every time I turn around, the baby's with the mama. Said, well, how you get that to happen?
Well, I think it.
How you get
really, Tanae?
I'm like, how you get that to happen?
Really?
Yeah, because if Tanae even goes towards doing what? Hey,
really,
hey.
Really, Tanae? I mean,
you got about 5 different babysitters
I was
already.
About,
better
I was
hush.
About to say you are the, but you go out of town more than I do, and I don't even have any children.
I don't. If going out of town means going up the street, okay,
no,
I go out of town
no.
then.
No. You have more babysitters than anybody
wow.
I've ever seen.
But they all want nice. To do it.
But I'm just saying, you know,
they
you
want
can get
to
people
do it.
To watch your.
But I'm saying, like, I don't recall, like, you know, I don't have a list. I'll be, hey, what you doing this week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you know.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you
I don't
do.
Have, you have I one do. That you don't even have to ask that.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
What?
Yeah.
And that goes along with the, she volunteers. She loves to be around
okay.
here.
Okay. We're not talking like about
I'm
that.
Just saying for grounded grandma.
Grandma is already expressing her back is hurting. She,
right.
She's
but why
even she, having anxiety attacks.
But why does she have to do all that? And that daughter should know. She should tell her daughter, look.
Well, I feel like she's being used.
Yeah, she tell her daughter,
I
she tell
so,
her daughter
yeah.
look. You had these two kids with your husband. I help you out by watching your child twice a week. You can't afford daycare and all this stuff. Stop having them.
Well, she's feeling guilty about it, too. See, that's yeah. that's what grandma's dilemma is, too.
Uh-huh.
She's feeling guilty yeah. about, you know,
because the daughter probably whining.
But you know, what, you know what she's going to have to do, though, grandma?
Cut her off.
Yeah, she's going to have to
yeah.
not keep them
yeah.
at all.
And for her to be grateful
and,
that she keeps
and,
them.
Yeah, and make them. Get another babysitter. That's mm-hmm. what she's gonna have to do. Now it sounds like to me, if she did do that, I'm in my head.
They would.
That
the
mother would probably tell her, "Look, I'm gonna have to quit my job because I don't have anybody to babysit, and I don't have enough money to pay
and
a
you,
babysitter. So now I got to quit my job."
And then that's what
so
grounded
grandma gonna say, "Bring them on, I keep."
No, grounded yeah. grandma should say, "Well, good, we can watch the operas together, the yeah. soaps together today."
Grandma, grounded grandma, do your thing, twerk, do whatever it is you want to do, wear your go-go boots, do whatever. Okay, so y'all know I love my home remedies, right? Y'all know I love
a
that.
A little too much.
So mm-hmm. I just found out some amazing things about cayenne pepper and some medicinal advantages of cayenne pepper. Okay. So here we go. I had to put on my glasses. One. Oh, Lord, it's blurry. Hold on.
Could cayenne fix that?
Right. It probably put them out.
Right. Number one, it relieves arthritis pain and fibromyalgia.
How?
It just says. You have to look it up. It improves digestion.
Yeah, it's hot. That's why. Yeah. Cayenne pepper burned up.
It relieves constipation.
Because it's hot. I'm going to get you started.
Your butt be hurting.
It improves allergies and asthma. It relieves sore throats, colds, and flu.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
I guess for the nose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It heals infections and wounds.
Okay, do a disclaimer on that because it's some people right now.
That's what it says.
Do not cancel your doctor's appointment, people.
It stops headache pain.
You can put up some Vaseline and slap on your
See,
forehead.
It should tell you
how it's used.
But it's not. It's just saying. Well, they want you to go buy the book. The book is called Cayenne Cures.
Oh,
and so they want you to go buy the book, and it just gives you a little bit about, you know, what it does.
What it does.
So you have to go buy the book to do that. It flushes out waste products and toxins.
Burns you up.
That's amazing. I did not know about this.
So you didn't
about
see anything
cayenne
in it
pepper.
For your eyes.
And I didn't say anything about eyes. Mm. And I don't really use cayenne pepper a lot, but again, people, when I do this home remedy stuff, this does not negate you going to the doctor. Go see your doctor, please. These things that we're talking about, this is kind of like for the in between.
And take that paper with you to the doctor.
This does not negate. Ask your doctor about these things. Mm-hmm. You know, your doctor's a professional.
We don't want you going to the doctor with your leg have to get amputated because you done said that. Eric Lee
said
cayenne pepper up here and I'm fine.
Right. Let me go. Now, here's another thing about hydrogen peroxide. Hmm. Okay. I thought it was just for cleaning your teeth. But it's for much more than cleaning your teeth. So here we go. Relieves arthritis, rheumatism, and fibromyalgia. I guess if you soak in it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Treat athlete's foot and nail fungus.
Yes, wash your feet.
Clears up allergies and sinus problems. Mm. Soothes sore throats, fights colds and flu.
So you talking about the hydrogen peroxide that, like, if you cut yourself and it bubbles
up.
Yes, you said
yes.
You can brush your teeth? You hear?
Yes.
Yeah, they make toothpaste with it now.
Oh, what? Yes, it gets
hydrogen
your teeth white.
And baking soda, make a paste with it. Brush your teeth.
I didn't know.
Fantastic.
That.
It helps heals boils and skin infections. Whitens teeth without spending a fortune.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Destroys dental bacteria and heals gingivitis.
Mm-hmm. What about halitosis?
It's for that too. I mean, for clean breath too. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Because I know some people breath that's humming.
I know a lot of people's breath that's humming too, to be honest with you. Well, that is all the time we have for today. We thank you all for tuning in. We will see you next time. We want to thank Tasha for being here again with us today. And thank Tanae for finally coming. You know how she is. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
I miss my old friends because they know when I need them the most. I made some new friends and they're cool friends.